This is the SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live. And while we've been on a hot streak talking about and to the people who play high school sports, the athletes, on this show, since the high school sports across the state returned, this week's episode will focus on the people who make them happen, because boy, has it taken quite the effort to provide those opportunities. Later on, I'm going to be joined by head coach at Mountain View, Adam Matheson. He's going to talk about the toll of this season on high school coaches, how coaches have been impacted by the shortened season, the importance of self-preservation, and how he's navigated coaching and facilitating sports throughout the pandemic. But first, basketball outside at the fairgrounds. That's being set up in Pierce County, and by the time you're listening to this, games will likely be underway outdoors, a requirement for basketball to be played due to the county's phase two status and the state's reopening plan. But we're playing basketball outside and at the fairgrounds nonetheless. So with me now is senior reporter, prodigal son of Tacoma, your pal and mine, Todd Millis, who spent yesterday at the fairgrounds watching the construction of sport courts. Todd, what did you see yesterday?
Something I'll probably never see again, Andy. It was quite a sight to behold. So if you've been to the Washington State Fairgrounds in Puyallup, it's a massive property. It's one of the largest fairgrounds in the country. They found an old show arena. They actually call it the arena. So there are a lot of arenas in the state of Washington. So this, we're just adding to that arena list as a new basketball facility. But it's where they have, where they show Clydesdale horses, and they have barrel racing. So it's big enough to put, legitimately big enough area to put three basketball courts. So yesterday, 20 to 25 athletic directors, coaches, parents, volunteers, workers met at the arena yesterday morning and began putting together this sort of sport court from Portland. It's basically what you would see at a state volleyball tournament in Yakima, or even down at St. Martin's when it was down there, Pierce College and Lakewood. So they started putting this floor together like a puzzle. It's called Mataflex. That's the surface. It's sort of this hard plastic, thin hard plastic bottom with a sort of a rubbery coating. So, and the actual floor plays kind of like a hardwood floor. So they put this together yesterday and started taping lines, got six baskets, and they're ready. They're ready for up to 400 basketball games, Andy, in the 4A SPSL, 3A PCL, varsity, junior varsity, C team games. And they're going to run them from Monday afternoon till at night, all the way through Saturday. So, I mean, up to 400 games could be played at this basically administrator-made facility if Pierce County stays in phase two.
It's amazing. I mean, it's really is. And if you look at the pictures, which you put some out on your Twitter account, and you can head to the site, scorebooklab.com/Washington, where you'll find more breakdown and footage. But it's an indoor, basically an outdoor showroom that is undercover, right?
Yeah, it's a show arena that has open air on both ends, but is completely under a roof, yes.
So, I mean, this really is a true feat of administrative might for all these athletic directors and everybody who took part in this to get it to happen. What was the manpower required to get this up in such a short window?
As many people that would show up, Andy, it's funny. I mean, like you said, 2 weeks ago in a preseason 4A SPSL coaches meeting, you know, these coaches are faced with the phase two problem. What are we going to do? So they just start throwing out ideas, and Rogers girls basketball coach Amy Looker suggests, hey, why don't we look at the Washington State Fairgrounds? It kind of fits the criteria of being outside. We could hold games there. It would take some outside the box thinking. And lo and behold, in a 2 week span, through meetings, through going to Yakima, getting baskets, going down to the Tacoma Dome and getting the WIA baskets, to laying down, to shoveling dry, old dry manure, to laying down a blacktop so it's level for the court, to putting this all together, to, I mean, it's just the way this community, the way East Pierce County really kind of rallied from a labor standpoint in getting all this stuff there to put this puzzle together was incredible. And to see, you know, Ross Philkins at Peninsula and Johnny Lee at Wilson and Rhonda Stinson at Mount Tahoma and these athletic directors come out and basically spend 10 laborious hours putting this all together so their kids can play. It was really something to really just admire, you know, let alone the spectacle of it, but just to admire how this was put together.
You've covered sports at the grandest scale there's ever been, and you've covered sports at a hyper-local level, too, in Tacoma for, you know, as long as you've been a working professional. That's why we call you the prodigal son, of course. Come on. But in your experience, I've got to imagine this, just the feat of accomplishing this has got to be one of the most unique stories and inspiring community stories you've covered.
Yeah, and I don't want to poo-poo on some of the great things that administrators have done over the years, but this is easily the most unique, outside-the-box thinking type idea from start to finish I've ever seen. And, you know, kids are going to benefit from it, Andy. And that being a common goal, it was, you know, it was pretty easy for these administrators to get this done.
Well, that's the big thing underlying is that all these kids get opportunities, and we're not just talking varsity. We're not just talking Wilson High School and you know, Lincoln High School boys basketball, girls basketball. We're talking JV. We're talking C team. And man, 400 events. That's no joke. So I think there's some well-deserved applause and recognition there. All that's missing is we need a nickname for these games. This is going to live on. This is a piece of history that we're witnessing right now. So what, I mean, I'm trying to think out loud of a nickname, and for the listener, please weigh in if you have any suggestions.
Well, but they have a something. What is going it? On there? Yeah. So, you know, for people that have gone to the Puyallup Fair, they have the Do the Puyallup song. You could see it on commercials on TV. That's been their longstanding jingle over the years. And so they're calling it Hoop the Puyallup.
Hoop the Puyallup. Okay. I was kind of thinking more along the lines of, you know, how the NBA had the bubble and they called it bubble ball and you had all these high scoring games. I mean, what's an apt way of describing where this is being played? Like barn ball, barrel ball. Let's get outdoors. Let's get, you know, you dig not very far underneath these courts. You got some old dirt there. So open to suggestions. I think we can spitball this. I think we could get a better one even. So I'll be fascinated to see just the spectacle of all this. And that's something that I know you're going to be documenting. And when you're covering these games, on a similar note, before we jump to our interview with Adam Matheson, this Friday, I'll be covering a high school wrestling match, a meet outside at Union High School. It's going to be out at on the football field at Union, I believe, at the high school. And there's one on Saturday down in Clark County at Camas. Doc Harris Stadium is going to be turned into an outdoor wrestling meet with all the 4A, 3A Greater St. Helens League schools competing, and they're doing it outside. Even though the county is in phase three, they're doing it outside so that every parent gets the chance to see their kids compete. One wrestling coach I talked to basically said something along the lines of, you know, when I asked, well, hey, you guys are in phase three, why not just hold it inside? And they said, have you ever met a wrestling parent? they come to the weigh-ins. So having it outdoors where there's a lot more laxed rules on spectators, we know the virus doesn't spread as high of a risk of spread outdoors. That's going to be another spectacle too. I know, Todd, you're looking forward to covering in a phase two county in Pierce County, some outdoor wrestling on football fields as well.
Yeah, this is an idea that I had heard, and we had talked about this, I think, on a previous podcast, Andy. This is an idea I first heard from, well, none other than the Blumgren brothers in Vashon Island. If you know anything about Vashon Wrestling and Anders Blumgren, Per Lars Blumgren, they are the premier outside-the-box thinkers. And I think they were sort of looking for ideas when everything was sort of up in the air across the state. And this was the first time I'd heard that. This is probably 2 or 3 months ago. The idea must have spread like wildfire, because you're seeing it in Vancouver. Virtually every coach I've talked to in Pierce County and Kitsap County and Thurston County are going along the same lines. You know, it's going to be interesting to see time of day. The biggest concern of holding wrestling meets outside is the dew factor or the condensation factor at night. They don't want the condensation on the mat. So they're going to probably start some of these meets or matches at 4 o'clock and run them all the way through. But you and I have talked off air about this. And this is in terms of a spectacle standpoint. And it's amazing that we have both of these spectacles going on at the same time, the basketball one at the fairgrounds and this. But as a guy that covered Mat Classic in my hometown for the better part of 20 years, to be able to watch a spring wrestling match or meet in a stadium under the lights or at dusk, I can't imagine too many cooler visuals than that. And the fact that, again, you know, having this outside eliminates some of the issues, the concerns of wrestling being a high risk sport, but the spectacle of it too, it's a great compromise idea. I can't wait to see it. I'm sure, I know you're in the same boat, Andy, going to Union on Friday. I just can't wait to see, just kind of peer off into the distance and just sort of see as the sun goes down, you know, kids wrestling in the middle of their football stadium with maybe the lights coming on and people, you know, the PA announcer blaring it from the press box.
Yeah, this isn't unique to wrestling, but there is a little something extra with wrestlers where it's like, hey, where there's a will, there's a way. You know, you put this high risk designation on the sport, and you know, coaches have said throughout this, and not just in wrestling, but especially so, hey, just give us options and we'll make it happen. And you're seeing that with this. So yeah, you're right. I'm really excited to see how this all plays out. I think it's going to be great that you're going to have, you know, a safer way to have a lot of parents view games, which is, you know, the simple solution is just bring it outdoors. And it's, you know, I say simple with air quotes, because, you know, I think logistically there's some manpower and some creativity needed, but, you know, they're making it happen. So I'm excited to see. You know, outdoor sports have been the most normal thing that I've seen in the return of high school sports. You know, I've been covering baseball games, and it's like, man, you look around at a baseball game and the atmosphere is pretty much exactly like it would be pre-pandemic. It's just, you've got people wearing masks. That's the only difference. And so, you know, I covered a little bit of 2A district baseball at Ridgefield, at that athletic complex last Friday. And you got just this great weather day. You got four great teams competing in the final four there. And just a great environment, great performances. I think we're going to see a lot of that, in wrestling and basketball is not just opportunities for kids, but a little bit of a spectacle for fans. So we'll be really excited to see that, Todd. I'll be following along really closely to your coverage. I'll be watching streams. So follow him at Many Hats Millis on Twitter for more updates. Of course, all of our work on the SB Live Sports app, which is free, Apple and Android, as well as scorebooklive.com/Washington. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, Adam Matheson. I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today.
I think coaches need to be really diligent now to schedule that family time, that decompression time, that time to when you go on a walk, when you go on a jog. You know, what is it for you that allows you to read a book, that allows you to kind of step away so that we have the energy to invest back in the kids?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I guess we can just get going. Joining me now is somebody who can speak to this issue as a coach, as an athletic director. He's the head football coach at Mountain View High School. Adam Matheson, thank you for being here.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on, Andy.
So the job description for coaching at the high school level in 2021 is a consistent moving target, as everything is this year. But sports have returned safely now. We can proudly say that. But there are a lot of things that need to happen behind the scenes to make sure that those opportunities can be there. And we've talked to coaches throughout the season, after the season, this shortened football season that took place. Now we're in season three, depending on where you are in the state. And there's a little bit of a consistent message that we're hearing of, you know, hey, it was a short season, but it didn't feel that way because it's been such a grind in the COVID era, making things work and providing opportunities. Have you heard or felt similar things yourself or from, you know, coaches that you've talked to?
Yeah, I think you see it, and it's pretty widespread in the profession, Andy. I think that, you know, as coaches, we're investors in kids, right? We're investors in our programs, we're investors in kids. And in football the last few years, it's not a surprise. We've had to redefine how we do a lot of things, whether it was tackling with concussion type stuff or whatnot. So I think football coaches are used to always having these different types of protocols put on them to make our sport safer and better for our participants and for the next generation of kids. But COVID was interesting, right? And it was a moving target each and every week. And I know the Coach Association Board worked hard with the WIA and the Department of Health to kind of get us moving in the right direction to have a season for our kids. But no, you see it. I saw an article yesterday from the Sacramento area about record number of turnover in their coaches there in California. There was a great article the other day out of Southern Oregon. A coach had stepped aside at a school in Southern Oregon, and he was very candid. He just said this season felt like 3 or 4 years. And so, you know, by the time you're doing daily attestation for kids and contract tracing and all the just different logistics that come into doing the sport safely, it does take a toll on you. And I think it's, as football people, we typically don't take too much time to recover. And I think that's really important now, is our athletes are playing 2-3 sports at a time. Maybe they're still doing club sports. And it's important for us to be able to take a step back and schedule our times to go on a walk or a jog or whatever it might be that gets you away, read a book, and just be able to decompress. I think that the stress recovery model is a real one, right? And I think that's human nature, is your body goes through stress, be it physical, be it mental. And then there's a time of recovery, and different people need different amounts of recovery. But, you know, at the end of the day, we want to be able to be our best to invest in kids. And as coaches, I think as our season ends and then we gear up for a summer, I do think there has to be some deep thought put into what that summer looks like to ensure that coaches are refreshed and recharged about a fall season in 2021, and that players are refreshed and recharged. I mean, we've got kids in our program that played football, and now they're playing basketball and baseball for the school at the same time, as well as a club baseball team potentially. And so, you know, to come back in August and expect us to have the same type of June, July, and August, for me, is probably unrealistic as a coach. And there needs to be some careful thought on how to do that so we are recovered and ready to go as coaches and as players.
nothing about the prolonged off season or the shortened season was normal this year, but walk me through a little bit of what the day-to-day differences for you were as a coach in getting the team ready for the season on a short notice and just, operating, within the rules to make sure that the sports played safely.
Yeah. I think you go back, and our district was fortunate. We had a superintendent that was, out in front and allowing us to do workouts in pods of six and doing all those kinds of things. So we had pretty good contact with our kids. I mean, there's programs in our state, as you talk to people throughout the state that did, they went months, almost upwards of a year without having legitimate face-to-face contact with their kids. And so for us to have that, I thought was a benefit. But, during the season, it was interesting. And for us, we were talking before the broadcast here, we're building a brand new school on our property, so we don't practice on campus. And so, you've got your kids, we're in a hybrid model. Well, football started, first of all, with we weren't in school at all. We were all remote. And then in the middle of the season, it changed to a hybrid model where some kids are on campus a couple times a week. And, and then we're practicing in the evening, 6 o'clock at night over at a local high school, over at Union High School, because we don't have any field space on campus. And so that was just unique for us, right? And there are schools all over. I know Coach Kohler at O'Day, he's famous for driving his bus and getting his kids to practice at different spots. But for us, that's new. And so just the stress of bringing your portable box of roll sheets and temperature gauges and all the stuff that you need to do to attest your kids before practice. And now you're doing that, in the wintertime, in the snow at 6:30 at night, practicing until 8:30, 9 o'clock. It's 34 degrees out, where typically you're starting football season, it's 90 degrees in the summer. And so it just comes with a different layer of organization, a different layer of attention to detail, wearing your masks, getting kids to social distance to where, normally you've maybe you're demoing a drill and there's kids circled up around you and you go, okay, well now we've got to be able to do that from 6 feet apart. And so it's a different type of coaching, and I'm proud of the coaches in the state. I know I communicated with lots of them, and just, you're trying to pick each other's your brain on how do we do what we used to do, but now how do we do it safely within these rules? Because we want to give our kids a chance to compete. And so, we got, I think, great ideas from other places. Hopefully we're able to share a few with people, but to be able to safely implement an offense, a defense, special teams in the winter, in the snow, with safety for kids being at the forefront of our mind. And so I don't think there was very many games canceled in our state. I think that we played the vast majority of them, and to be able to do that for 6 or 7 weeks with no issues is a testament to the attention to detail, the organization of the coaches, and really the commitment of kids. It's hard to look at a kid historically and go, hey, if you've got a stuffy nose or a slight temperature, you've got to be able to, on your own, say, I'm going to stay home, right? Or I've got to go get tested or whatever it is. And so there's a big burden on kids that's different, that there's an accountability that typically a stuffy nose isn't going to hold you out of school, right? And now all of a sudden we're saying, don't come. Like you might not be able to be involved for a week of something that you've been waiting a year and a half to play because you've got a stuffy nose, but the protocol says you've got to stay out. We've got to go get a test or whatever that might be. And so I think great credit goes to the families, the players and the coaches for being able to give the kids the experience, right? And we had a kid, not to divert it, but we had a young man, I think of Kevin Chen, he's a senior, and he was a backup second, third string quarterback for us as a freshman. And, as a senior, he ends up being a two-way starter, ended up catching 5 or 6 touchdown passes, running for a couple more. We didn't do all league in our area, but he would have been an all league player on defense. And to me, we played the season for kids like Kevin Chen. I mean, he wants to go to the University of Washington. He wants to be a doctor someday. His football career is over. And he got a chance in February, March, and April to go out there in the snow, 6 o'clock at night, take his temperature, stand away from his teammates, wear a mask, do all the things that maybe people would say, why are you really doing this? And he got to have an experience that he's going to remember when he's 25, 30, 35 years old. And hopefully he learned some lessons about persistence and stick with itness and grit and all those types of things that allow you to be successful. And hopefully if I live long enough, he'll be doing surgery on me someday and he'll take care of me. And, but he got to have that experience. And I think kids throughout the state would say that they got to experience their senior year of football. And sure, we didn't always have the band or we didn't always have a crowd, but they got to experience playing football with their friends.
It's a phenomenal point. And for everybody, like Kevin in that situation, you're exactly right. We learned that, hey, as much as You know, this pandemic has even furthered social divides in the country and communities, you know, here locally. You saw kids just stepping up and rising to the occasion of, you know, whatever it takes to get out on the field. In your conversations with coaches and with the Coaches Association, has the Coaches Association thought about, you know, being a little proactive or even maybe a little bit reactive about different ways that it's schooling coaches or advising coaches on how to kind of recharge?
Yeah. And maybe that's why they nominated me for this conversation, because I missed our last meeting. And that was the I was supervising a basketball game. And
it that's a legitimate overtime. Excuse.
So we had a great basketball game, went to overtime. And so I by the time I clicked into the call, either they wouldn't let me in or they were gone by then. But, you know, that's the one thing we've talked about is, you know, our traditional calendar picks up right after the state track meet with pads and, or, you know, you go your 3 days of helmets and so forth. And then you kind of get into your pads and you can scrimmage and go to team camp and so forth. And so we've talked as an association about putting recommendations out there. What does that really look like? You know, and if you think about the calendar, we basically just ran a college spring ball session, right? I mean, in college spring ball, usually they're doing two scrimmages, I think, and then a spring ball over their 15 days. And you go, and most schools are doing that somewhere in February, March, April, right? And so you go, we basically just played a spring season. And so, you know, I know for us in our program, then we kind of view it like, well, what are the colleges doing? Well, we're going to go into our summer lifting and 7-on-7 and things like that, as we want our kids to go through the recovery model and the stress recovery we talked about earlier. But nothing formal came out of that meeting yet, although we do work closely with the WAA just on recommendations of going, how much is too much for kids? You know, and some of it's logistical too. Like, we sent, you know, 90 helmets in to be reconned, and the word is we might not get those back till late July or early August. So that changes how you're going to do stuff anyway. Yeah. But, you know, I have a great deal of respect for the coaches on the board and to a man, as we talked just through email. And again, I missed the conversation, but as I read through the minutes and stuff, our belief is that you can get tons of football done nowadays without necessarily having to pad up, go to camps, do scrimmages and things like that. There are just, you know, all the tackling drills. I think tackling has advanced so far to where you can do it with bags and no pads, and you can still teach your foot patterns and your routes and, you know, your double teams on your zone blocking, whatever it might be, your gap schemes and your pulls and so forth. So to a man, most of us felt like there should be something that comes out from our association that says, here's our recommendation. Now, what's interesting is that we just passed an amendment yesterday at the WAA, as I multitask my hats, that said football basically now can practice X amount of days. And the legislature, it didn't change the number of padded days, but it does open things up for more 7-on-7 and so forth, more contact days of football beyond 20. And I think what you're going to see throughout the state is most coaches, by the time they get to their kids in June, it's going to be a lot of 7-on-7. It's going to be a lot of stuff on air, on pads. Again, we have very wise coaches in our state, and whether the kids are in gear or not, there's a benefit of wearing gear, right? You get used to seeing the ball out of a certain face mask or whatever it might be, but the contact, I'm confident, will be a lot different than what it looked like, just as I talk to coaches throughout the state in June and July. And to be honest, coaches, I mean, I'd be disingenuous if I didn't say coaches right now battle personal fatigue with some of this stuff. And you start looking at the calendar going, man, we got to get cranking in 2-3 weeks here. That is, that's a daunting task for a lot of coaches. And, you know, so for them to be able to go, okay, we got to ease our kids back into this, and we got to ease ourselves back into it in order to make sure that we can have a nice, successful 10, 11, 12, 13 week season in the fall.
Just personally, you talk about that personal toll. You know, you're an athletic director as well. And so, you know, as these seasons charge on in 4A, 3A Greater St. Helens League, you have two seasons on top of one another, as you mentioned right now. But how do you plan, or how have you, since the football season, put kind of steps just for yourself to be able to recharge and to reboot? And how do you plan to do that, you know, once the school year's over and there's a quick turn of the page to fall?
Yeah, it's a good question, Andy. And you think about it, right? Because the one thing you don't want as a coach or a player, and I think you run the risk of this. This is my opinion. There's no scientific facts on this. But I think sometimes if you do so much football year round. And there's a benefit of doing stuff. Don't get me wrong, with different positions maybe or whatever, but I'm a huge believer in playing multiple sports. I'm a huge believer in getting away and recharging. But what you don't want to do is have your football team do so much stuff in the off season that by the time you get to week 7, 8, or 9, the kids are excited to get to basketball season or excited to get to wrestling season. Like you want to do enough to get really good, but yet you want your kids to be excited about football when it starts. And then you want to be really excited as you start getting to, you know, the week 7, 8, 9 of the season and start going to postseason. But again, I laugh because I think Coach Rosenbaugh over at Union High School, we have a love-hate relationship that, you know, is played up in the media a little bit based on the rivalry of our schools. And we share the same job description, but we talk daily, like we really do, about just what are you doing? You know, both of us have boats, and it's, you know, talking about getting out on the boat a little bit this summer with our kids and so forth, just being able to get away. And it doesn't take much, right? I mean, it doesn't take more than 48 hours sometimes just to clear your mind and get away. And so, I've got a workout program I do, you know, you're working out 3-4 days a week, kind of doing that. You try to work out with the kids a little bit, but for me, it's more personal time, right? Like I got to read books in the evenings and I got to do the elliptical and walk in the morning and kind of clear my head and set myself for the day. And then get engaged in things that aren't necessarily always football. And I don't have very many hobbies, but, you know, boating or watching my kids play sports, those are things that you got to find a way to invest in. And I think as coaches, oftentimes we're there, but we're not really present at those things. And so for me, there's a committed effort to go, okay, when I'm at my daughter's softball game, I've got to be dad here. Where normally you're thinking about, okay, you know, when Union's playing this coverage and they're spinning, you know, to the field, what are we going to hit on the backside? Like you're processing those things. And my wife will always talk about it. You're having conversations and you're there, but you're not really present. And so there has to be a concerted effort to be present in those other avenues. And then when it's time for football, you got to be in and you got to go. It's a demanding deal and you want to be ready. You want your kids to be ready. You want to be ready from that standpoint. But you do got to find some outlets, whatever that is. I know our head baseball coach, Coach Cattu, he took up golfing and, you know, and he said he was awful.
Great pandemic sport, by the way.
It was great. It was, you know, it was something that was open down here. He was able to do, and it just gave him a chance to step away from the day-to-day operations of running his organization, you know, his baseball program and teaching and so forth. And so you got to be able to do those things. The problem is a lot of football people don't have hobbies. Football is the hobby. But, you know, our family's looking forward to boating season and getting out there. And I'm sure I'll get out there with Coach Rowe a little bit. And then we'll put a plan together. We talk again, what's our summer look like? How many days are you going to do in the weight room? Are you going to do morning and evenings? How many 7-on-7 sessions are you going to do? Should we run a tournament? Should we not? And you try to get it to where you're going to get the work in, but you can still get some honest recovery family time as well.
Well, I wish you the best boating season and a great summer spent with your kids, Coach. I know, you know, as you're kind of in the throes of it right now, and I appreciate you taking time to come and talk to me about this because, you know, it's an ever-present issue that I know a lot of coaches, administrators are navigating right now. So I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. And just last thing, I think it's okay to admit that. Right. I mean, I think it's okay as a coach to admit like, hey, it's stressful. I think there's some authenticity in that going, it's stressful. How are you managing that? And as coaches, whether it's me or another coach, I think it's a wonderful profession and we need each other. And we have to make sure that we're fired up and ready to go, that we're our best for our kids. And so I'd encourage any coach that is struggling to reach out to, you know, a neighboring coach because we're not in it alone. And I've got great advice from my neighbors down the road, Coach Eagle, Coach Rowe, et cetera, and use those coaches around you in your network.
Appreciate you saying that, and I hope that coaches out there will take you up on that. Thank you, Adam, for your time.
Thanks, Andy. Have a wonderful day.
This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. And thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. This song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.